Welcome to the Great Loop Radio podcast, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. I'm Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today, I am thrilled to welcome Rev and Sam Kraus. They are Platinum Loopers. They are sponsors of AGLCA, and we're going to talk about all of that, but we're mostly going to focus this episode on life after the loop because they've done some really interesting things that I guess kind of all started with their Great Loop. So we'll dive into that in a moment. First, I do want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Kathy All. She is a certified financial planner with Edward Jones, Great Loop Yacht Sales, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage our listeners and viewers to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And without further ado, I'd like to officially introduce Rev and Sam Kraus. Many of you know them. They are popular YouTubers. And Rev and Sam, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, and thanks for having us. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to see you both. It's been actually quite a while since I've seen your faces. You've been to some of our events and spoken at some of our events, and we certainly appreciate that. But for those who are new to knowing you, let's go ahead and start off. Just tell us a little bit about yourselves and your Great Loop experiences. Trying to
Oh,
tell a
sure.
little bit about your Great Loop experiences is a challenge, I know, but give us the overview.
I'm Sam. I'm a retired Air Force pilot and also a retired airline pilot. I've been boating since my teens and had different boats, but this was really our first big boat adventure.
I'm Rev, and my background professionally was education, teacher, administrator. I also got a master's. I went back to school and got a master's in computer education. So that started my interest in creating websites and doing more things online.
Yeah. And so, as far as our Great Loop adventure goes, we started in May of 2019, and that was our first loop. Went kind of the traditional route with that through the Trent Severn waterway down there, through the inland waterways, and then did the Keys. Second loop started in 2021, and we did a little bit different. Some of the external events in the world forced us to do a little bit differently, but we did. We went through, let's see, we went through the Welland Canal, and we did all five Great Lakes. Came down the inland waterways. There's not much difference there, but we did the Lake Okeechobee run, which was really different. So then we started the third loop, really thinking that we may never finish a third loop, but we intended to keep the boat up in Canada and do more of the Great Lakes, those things. But we also did the Rideau Canal and the Welland Canal and a couple other things there that were on our list to do. So we've been around the loop plus in a couple different ways.
Yeah, you definitely have pretty much covered it all.
Yeah.
Thinking back to, before that first 2019 loop, what was it about this adventure that attracted the two of you to it?
Well, I guess for me was I discovered the Great Loop while on a layover with the airlines, and I just kind of like, wow, I started to obsess over what is this thing and do a little bit more research on it, and then kind of sprung it on Rev as a hey, why don't we do this in retirement?
I love to go places, and so I didn't. In hindsight, I was very naive. I should have asked more questions, but I just like to go places. So he said, "Hey, I found this. It's called the Great Loop." I said, "I don't. Yeah, okay, sure, I'll go. Yeah, whatever.
All in.
All in."
One of the things was that we, because I had a job to travel, I traveled a lot, whether it was the Air Force or whether it was the airlines. And so,
Yeah, I was nervous about us spending 24/7 together. I think that's pretty common. People that retire, you're like, oh, great. Here we are. What are we going to do? And so I would have to say I was a little concerned for our marriage if we're going to be able to stay in a confined space and how that would work. But It ended up pretty good.
Yeah, I shared as few details as I could about the entire
Yes, he
journey.
did. Yeah.
And she said, just get a big boat. And so
That is
we did.
true.
We
Yes.
bought a big boat.
We did. I said, I don't care what it is. I don't know anything about boats, but just get one bedroom on one end and one bedroom on the other. So if we have a fight, we can go to our corners, and maybe we'll be okay.
Yep, that is a good solution. And you're not alone in that concern that you had, Rev, about spending that time together upon retirement. But I'm sure you've discovered it's really something I love about the Loop and Loopers is that you really just do see you see a lot of very engaged, connected couples out here. And I think it's sharing the adventure, it's sharing the journey, it's having this it's something that keeps your mind and your body occupied. And there are challenges, but you solve them together, which you shared a lot in your videos, and we're going to talk about that. I know from meeting the two of you, and I met you early on and have met you, since you have become, kind of expert loopers. But I know that you kind of unwittingly became very popular YouTubers on the Great Loop. I know you didn't start out expecting that. But share with everybody, how you got started on videos and why.
Right. It was a big surprise, Kim. My mom was so nervous for us, and I was nervous for us because when we, and I kid you not, when we left the dock going on our first trip on the loop, I did not know how to tie the boat to the dock. I was just praying. I did a lot of praying, I have to say. I became very spiritually
Always helps.
minded. Definitely helps. But we originally started our YouTube channel so our friends and family could see. We went from here all the way here and we're alive. We made it. And that's really how it started, that we documented every trip just for their peace of mind.
And on the first loop, I got to hand it to Rev. She did a great job, learning how to be a first mate and working together to get the boat from point A to point B to point C. But she also did a great job with the videos, and those matured. But you did on the first loop, you also did a blog.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought I wasn't going to have enough stuff to entertain me. I mean, what do you do? What I just there's so many unknowns. We just sit there and look at the scenery, and then what do we when we get there? So really, that was on me. I started a YouTube channel, I started a blog, and it was too much. That's how, you see people now put where they are and what they're doing on Facebook, which is a wonderful way to document. And I don't know why we didn't do that. We just
I don't think we were comfortable, with anything. And then the second
right.
loop, we dropped the blog, and we actually had a
Right.
question about whether we should continue to do the videos, but we did. So here comes the end of the second loop, and we were thinking about selling the boat. We didn't for a lot of reasons. And we started the third loop, and we tried for two trips not to do videos. And it was like it had become so ingrained that I said, I can't do this without, doing the video. It's like, hey, skip and checking the oil or something. So it was such a habit that we kept going with it. So 272 videos along 2+ loops.
Yeah, amazing because it is very time consuming, especially to do a quality job like the two of you do. So hats off to both of you for being able to keep that up. You mentioned that you had a big boat for the Great Loop. You also mentioned that, you started thinking about selling it perhaps after the second one and that you did that partway through the third one. Tell us what boat you selected, first of all, for the Great Loop, but then, what was the thinking when you decided, okay, it's time we are going to sell the boat and move on to other adventures?
We selected a Carver 504. She was a 1999, twin Cummins engines on it, 8.3s. And, it was a very, very comfortable boat. On the I guess, size issue. It was kind of pressing as to, hey, can we get this boat all around the loop? And it did limit us, although we were able to get it through the Rideau Canal. So, with a 4.5 foot draft, you could get the boat through there. But anyway, we knew that we were not going to do a third loop. We had a storage contract at Sunrise Marina in Sandusky. We got there a few weeks early, and somehow on Facebook, I don't know what exactly happened. We talked about selling the boat, and we had many people who wanted the boat. We never really had to show the boat. It was shown so much, and we had done so many videos about the boat that people could see the boat. I was going to show it. I remember I was going to show it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And there was a couple who really wanted it, and they said they couldn't get there to three. I said, "Well, I have a scheduled showing at one." That morning of the 1 o'clock showing, got a full price offer from the people who wanted it to see it at three, and they sent a deposit. So that was it. They came. They looked at the boat. We did a sea trial survey, all that, and it was like, wow, we sold the boat, and they took our contract as well.
We toyed with the idea earlier of selling it because I said if we had a boat that was shorter this way and shorter this way, we could get into some places that we couldn't with that boat. And you were there, Kim. You saw it was a little floating apartment. It was little
Beautiful.
living room and galley, and it was very comfortable, as Sam said, but a little large, a little large for everything we wanted to do, which is why we made the decision.
So
So,
anyway.
and that's such great information because there's such a perception out there that so many loopers are one and done or two and done, and immediately they sell the boat. And I think that's really a misconception. I think a loop boat is a very mission specific boat, and when you've done the loop once or twice and you want to continue perhaps cruising, there's so many other types of cruising to do that that bigger boat is just not the right boat to do. So I'm glad you shared that because it's not, I think there's a perception from some people that, oh, nobody likes looping. They finish it and they sell the boat immediately. And it's really quite the opposite of that, is that you want to continue that cruising lifestyle. And you've done some of that, but you've kind of expanded upon the cruising. So, you have basically taken your experiences and the fun that you had on the Great Loop and turned that into a business. So, tell us about that. I don't think you started your loop expecting that to be the outcome, but here we
No,
are. So tell us about.
Absolutely not. That
Yes.
it was not.
Well, and before
Although
we go there, we have not mentioned the name of your YouTube channel, and I know you also have your business name that's a little bit different. So What Yacht to Do is, of course, where you can find Reverend Sam on YouTube, and they have since started the business that we're about to talk about, and that is Great Loop Academy, which seems like the perfect combination of the previous experiences that you shared, Rev, you in computer education, Sam, you in being a pilot and training and that sort of thing. So tell us how it came about that this turned into another business after you thought perhaps you were retired.
Yeah, and my friends, they all, I guess, say I have failed retirement. But it is fun to help people, and that's where we kind of started. Was I've had a consulting business since 2004, and flight instruction, process consulting, quality, safety, security, all kinds of things that I've done. So it kind of fit into there of helping people. And I think the first thing that was, people would see the videos, right, and ask, and we kept answering. So Rev put together a
During the course of making the, and to those of you that are just meeting us and go to trip one on our What Yacht to Do, I am sorry. That video is not for you. In fact, like the first video, 50 videos aren't for you. That's us talking to our mom and friends going, we did it. And so anyway, just talking heads for a while, but they started saying, hey, could you show us what you're seeing? I was like, hey, okay, I hadn't thought of that. But that's when we would slap in some B-roll or we would talk through something, things that we were seeing. As a result, we started getting a lot of questions, in the comments below the videos, like, what is this? And then they would, of course, we have our email out there, crew at what yacht to do. So we would get a lot of emails. And we would, I don't know why we would start saying this on our video. We say, we read them all and we answer them all. And then it just got overwhelming. The amount of questions we got, and we're happy to help. Don't get us wrong. We really, really enjoyed that. But that's kind of what led into Great Loop Academy. We decided we're answering the same questions over and over again. So we put together some courses where we took those questions and answered it that way.
And the very first thing though was people would see us when we started doing a little bit more videos about the boat. They would say, "Hey, what's that? What's that?" And so that started with the resource page on What Yacht to Do, which we still have,
Right.
where people can go and see as they get their boat and outfit it for the Great Loop. So that helps them. But yeah, I remember I said on one video, "Send us your questions." And we read them all and we answer them and all. And you said, before you put that out there, I said, "Do you really want to do that?" And I said, "Yeah." So we started answering them all. And we had, when we took all the comments, questions, emails, we had nearly 30,000 different pieces of data. And so we binned those out, and they logically fell into questions about the route, which we call the journey, questions about the boat, questions about the crew, and then questions about living on board. And that's how we put those four courses together to help people. They are really also something that I use when I go out to do training. It gives people a fundamental feel for what's going to happen, and it lays the groundwork for that as well.
Yeah, Sam, that's something that came much later. People wanting Sam to come on their boat and help them. I was like, oh, I wish we would have had somebody to come on our boat. But he goes through all the systems of the boat. I mean, you gotta be concerned with things you don't even think about, like plumbing and electricity and all those things you don't worry about at your house, but you have to be on top of that stuff.
It's a little like moving into a third world country that you now have to take care of the plumber, the sewage, everything. And yeah, if you've never done that, having somebody like Sam come aboard is an absolute godsend to teach you all of those systems. So I'm not at all surprised that this has been a huge success for you. Great Loop Academy, of course, has the training courses. And then Sam, are you super busy in the delivery and training? Are you booked out for 2 years in advance? How's that working?
I stay as busy as I want to be, and I recently I couldn't handle it all, so we brought a partner on, and he is helping out with it as well. But it is nice to get out, and I try to limit it to once a month because we do have another life that we try to live, and I could make it into a job, I suppose, if I wanted to. But at this point, as hey, it's really to be able to get out and help people. We also are a certified educational partner with Captain's Course, and so we help people get through the Captain's Course, and so it's just been a real blessing to be able to help people.
But one other service that Sam offers is like a boat consultant, I would say. So it's someone that hasn't purchased their boat. We really could have used this too to say, you probably don't need a 50-foot boat, maybe just 40 feet. You still have space to have a fight and go to your separate corners. But he'll help. They already have an idea of what kind of
Yeah,
boat.
they kind of might have an idea, but I kind of help steer them. And I'm, of course, not a broker or helping with any of that, but sorting out things. And I've seen so many things now doing training, getting on different boats and seeing what works, what doesn't work, what's going to be an issue, how are you going to overcome those issues.
Yeah, because I love the Here's to Us because of the pictures, and how beautiful it looked. And it looks so comfortable and wonderful. I didn't care about the engines, but that's really important. You're not going anywhere unless that other stuff is working.
And
But
also,
ideally, you want both, right?
yeah,
Because you might need those ideally.
aesthetics to keep one part happy, and you certainly need the soundness of the vessel itself for the other. I know you're about to reach a milestone in this business that inadvertently has become a thing for you. I want to jump into that, but first, let's take a quick break and play a message from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a moment.
Prop Talk is an Annapolis-based company founded in the summer of 2005 by active Chesapeake Bay boaters. The company produces Prop Talk magazine, a monthly newsprint magazine focused on Chesapeake Bay powerboating and the lifestyle surrounding boating on the bay. Every issue of Prop Talk is distributed at more than 850 carefully chosen and closely monitored locations throughout the Mid-Atlantic. Prop Talk's coverage goes deep rather than wide, and the magazine celebrates the people, places, boats, personalities, and events that make the Chesapeake one of the world's premier boating grounds. Thanks for reading and supporting the Chesapeake Bay's Boating Magazine.
Winter Harbor Marina is located on the Oneida River, 1.5 miles west of Oneida Lake in Brewerton, New York, just minutes from Syracuse International Airport. Winter Harbor offers the lowest diesel fuel and gas prices from New York City to Canada. If you find a lower posted documented price, they will match it. Their amenities include complimentary courtesy vehicle, 24-hour pay-at-the-pump fueling, dockside water and cable TV, pristine bathrooms and showers, and emergency haul-out service. For more information, call 315-676-9276 or visit www.winterharborllc.com. Winter Harbor is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA.
We're back on the Great Loop Radio podcast. My guests today are Rev and Sam Kraus. Many of you know them as What Yacht to Do and also as Great Loop Academy. They are here today kind of giving us a little bit of a taste of life after the loop. And in their case, they have, of course, taken that loop experience and turned it into the next chapter. And as I said right before the break, Rev and Sam, you're about to hit kind of a milestone. Tell us about the 100th anniversary or the 100th edition of your newsletter.
Actually, we have done probably 150 newsletters because we started out, we called it our travel update. As I mentioned, people now use Facebook and they put their travel updates there with pictures. Well, that's what we used as a Sunday newsletter. We would put that out. But then Sam decided people needed more information, and it's the 100th Captain's Corner.
Yeah, it's a newsletter, but it's the 100th Captain's Corner. And so we batted around what we were going to do to celebrate that. That'll be coming up here in the next week or so. And what we did is we went out to people who had completed the loop, and we asked them for that one thing about the loop. And that's a very difficult thing. And we tried to limit it to a 100 or two words. And interesting perspectives we've got from dozens of loopers, and we'll be sharing that. The one thing, as you remember from City Slickers, when Billy Crystal asked Jack Palance, I think was his name, Curly, what's the secret of life? And Jack Palance said, the one thing. And then Billy Crystal says, what? And he says, that's what you have to figure out. So that was our prompt for it.
Nice.
But it again is really difficult to encapsulate it into one thing, but I think we've done a pretty good job capturing that.
Yeah. So tell us where people can sign up for the Captain's Corner if they'd like to.
Well, you can go to whatyachttodo.com and there's a sign up button, and you could go to greatloopacademy.com. Same thing. There's a sign up right there, bright red button. Both of those go to the same newsletter.
Yeah. And so you mentioned while we were talking, you know, Sam, that you do as much training on other people's boats as you want because you've got other parts of your life going on. And I know that you recently shared some trips overseas for different kinds of cruising. So as we talk about life after the loop, and there's lots of people who have fallen in love with the cruising lifestyle but have finished the loop. Tell us about what you did overseas.
Well, last fall, we went to Scotland. This was another one of those trips, Kim. Sam's like, hey, you want to go to Scotland? Sure. Without knowing all the details, we rented a 50 foot long narrow boat. So 50 feet long, but 6 feet wide.
It's about seven.
Doesn't really matter at that point. We decided on a 50 foot again because it had more space. You know, it had two bedrooms. They're, what are they, full size beds? So we use one like a changing room, you know, and one like a sleeping room, and would have some more space to spread out. Would you get a 50 foot one again?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so it's like driving a dinghy that doesn't want to reverse and doesn't want to turn. Fortunately, you're going straight most of the time. And there's something, we rented the boat in Falkirk, Scotland. So we were able to spend 1 week going to Edinburgh and then back, and then 1 week going to Glasgow and back. So we saw the best cities. If you like cities and exploring them, those, oh my goodness. One is more modern, Glasgow. Edinburgh is more, you know, what would you say? Historic, beautiful architecture.
And so we did get to experience the Falkirk Wheel. And then the other one that we did in the spring of this year, and those videos will come out later this year, is we went to the Netherlands and we took two other couples with us. They each had their boat, so there were three boats going through the Netherlands, and we got as far as Edam,
It was a lay boat, so
Leeboot.
more like we were used to
Yes, exactly.
having.
But three different types of boats. We all couldn't get the same type of boat, so it was a little bit of a challenge. It was very fun, and we got down as far as the other cheese place was Gouda. Yes, all the way from Eden, Amsterdam, and beautiful old historic places that we visited. It was just
That one was
beautiful.
2 weeks as well. Yeah,
you
so
mentioned the Falkirk wheel. Which dive into that a little bit because it's fascinating. It's probably the closest thing I can think of that, you know, compares in some way to Big Chute or the Peterborough lift lock. So, you know, Europe's version of that very unique lock system. So tell us about that.
You know, you think you've seen all the locks doing the loop and going up into Canada, but yeah, tell us
So the
about that.
Falkirk Wheel was, as part of the Millennium Project there, as they celebrated. They did that and another couple of things like the Kelpies, the huge horse structures that are out there that we also visited. But the Falkirk Wheel is kind of like a combination of a merry-go-round and a lock, and it just circulates. Boats come in at the bottom. It actually eliminated 11 locks, and
Wow.
one come in at the top, one at the bottom, and this thing turns and brings one down. Very efficient. They say, I think it's the energy that's used is about boiling like eight pots of tea.
Oh, and it's so
It's
quiet.
very quiet. But it was great. And we got to ride that going to Edinburgh and then also getting it and come back as we went to Glasgow.
Really amazing and love those new adventures for you. So you've inspired lots of people to do the Great Leap. You've helped people get educated about the Great Leap. What is kind of, you know, you talked about the one thing, Sam. If we shift that a little bit to what's the one thing that you would like people who are maybe planning or dreaming about this adventure to know, what would that be?
Yeah, and that's a difficult question, Kim, as well. But I think if I had to boil it down, I'd say, hey, if there's one thing we're going to focus on, it's safety when I get on the boat. And we start that even with pre-virtual training before I get to the boat. Safety, from knowing the systems, knowing what's going on, and communication, and that bleeds over. Once you feel that you're safe, then you can get confidence and competence. So I think that one thing is safety. That's what I preach a lot.
I would say learn how to tie the boat to the dock before you leave. It's like really important. I don't know what we were thinking. We
Well,
should have taken some day trips and at least see how to rent the
we didn't
boat.
do that, did we?
No,
We
we
got a
didn't.
day and a half of training, and then
I would
we
say
said,
take a few weekends, you know. It's
okay.
exciting to have a boat, but the boat has to work and you don't know if it works right until you get out there and use
So
it.
one interesting thing is on our very first trip, as we got to Chesapeake City Marina, was there was another looper couple that just started their loop that day too. And so we got to know them, and we were equally confused about what to do out there. So.
There's always camaraderie out here on the Great Loop, that is for sure. So, Another hard question, and this is always a tough one for me, so I always feel bad when I ask it, but I love the answers I get. So, what is your favorite thing about the Great Loop? And I know I'm asking about the highlight in a trip of highlights, but if you could single out something, what is your favorite thing about the
Anybody
Great
go first?
Loop?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Well, I think for me, and I've reflected on a lot, and we actually wrote a blog post, Reflections on Two Loops. I think for me, it was the sense of accomplishment that we did the loop and all those challenging waterways, but did it as a team and, overcame a lot of things together. So that to me is the sense of accomplishment as a team with Red.
I got obs okay, so I would say my thing is the perspective you have of places, whether you've been there before or not, but the perspective from the water and being able to get close to things. I was totally obsessed with going under bridges. And I've got so much footage of going under bridges. I'm still obsessed with it. So I would say the perspective from the water. We've been to New York before, we had been to Miami before, but anchoring when you're looking at Miami, or seeing the Statue of Liberty right there, yeah, there's a reason that's a highlight because it's just so incredible.
And the other thing is, a lot of people, I don't know, say a lot of people, but there's many people that say they do not like the inland rivers. And for me, that was one of the favorite parts of the loop, seeing the heartland of America as you come down those waterways and seeing what's really, driving the country. So it's pretty cool.
Very cool. I love hearing this perspective. So, and we'll be looking forward to some more of the videos from overseas, but what other adventures do you have planned for down the road?
Yeah, I'd like to hear this.
Because Rev's in. She wants to go with you
Yeah,
wherever it is.
I'll go.
Well, in my spare time, I'm always looking at some other cruising opportunities, and there's a number of them in Europe. In fact, there's so many of that I'm starting to like, okay, what do we do first? But also traveling with friends on that last one that we did with the Netherlands was really neat to have, two other buddy boats out there going with us, and so we're looking at those things. And how about you?
Well, I like cruises, not the big cruise ships, that's too many people, but the smaller ones because Kim, they drive the boat, they dock the boat, they just, they do everything for
They tie
you.
it to the dock for you.
Yes.
They prepare your food
They feed you, and
There's something to be said.
So, I
No,
guess.
that's great. I love it. I appreciate you sharing, some of your reminiscing about the loop, but sharing some of your new adventures, and love that you both retired and then, as Sam said, failed retirement and are back helping others with the loop. So we love it. Thank you for joining us and sharing all the fun.
Well, thanks, Kim, for
Thank you for
asking.
having us. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure as well. Thanks to everyone who's watched or listened today. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Great Loop Radio podcast. Until then, safe cruising.